One of the things that Jesus Christ came to earth to do was to show us what God's really like. And quite frankly, he exploded a lot of myths when he came on the scene about what God's like. And I want to look at a concept that Jesus described God with, a phrase, out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And I put it in your outline. Marianne just sang a solo of the Lord's Prayer. And this is the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 and following. Look in your outline there. Look what he says. His disciples, what happened was his disciples saw him praying multiple times, and they finally said, you know, there's something about the way he prays versus the way we pray that's different. We would like to learn from him how to pray. So they asked him, could you teach us how to pray? And so Jesus said this. This is how you should pray. When you talk to God, the Almighty Creator of the universe, the Holy One, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. That had to have been a complete shock to them. In the Old Testament, which covers thousands of years of God's dealings with people, and especially with the Jews, God is referred to as Father only seven times. Jesus refers to God as Father in this chapter seven times. And in all of his teachings and the recordings of the four Gospels, they refer to God the Father 150 times. There is a radical shift in how you approach God Almighty. And Jesus is saying, this is how I want you to see God. This is how I want you to relate to God. Our Father. Now, the struggle with that is when we use the word Father, some people, it conjures up painful memories, not positive memories. It's not a happy term for them. It's a sad term. Maybe it creates anger in them. They had a father that was abusive or absent or whatever it might be, and they just don't have this warm concept of a father, and so it can be a struggle for them. So what Jesus did is he said this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. I think he was meaning more than a location. I think he was saying, I'm talking not about an earthly dad, I'm talking about a heavenly father, and there's a huge difference. My observation is over the years, people have a lot of conceptions and perceptions about God that are not accurate based on Scripture. I didn't provide this in your outline, but let me give you four that I think are directly impact a person's ability to come to God and pray this way, our Father in heaven, or my Father, or my Heavenly Father. Here they are. Some people, when they think of God, they think he's unreasonable. He has all kinds of demands on their life. They can't possibly live up to them. Some of the demands they don't even want to live up to. God makes it really tough with all his rules and regulations. He removes all the fun and all the joy out of life. He's a cosmic killjoy. But if that's your perception of God, it makes it really hard for you to get close to him, to think of him as your father. Some people think of God and they think he's unreliable. It's another one. A lot of times that comes out of hurt that's happened in their life and the injustice that's occurred in their life, and they blame God for it. Why didn't you step in? Why didn't you protect me? Why didn't you save me? Why didn't you stop it, kind of thing? And so they think of God as just being very unreliable. Makes it really hard to get close to God and to treat him and think of him as your father. Third one is some people think of God and they think God is unconcerned about them. You see, God's this big creator of all things, and he doesn't have the time to pay attention to my life and the little things in my life and my little problems compared to Almighty God and everything that he has to deal with. So they see him as distant and aloof. And the last one I thought of is some people see God as unpleasable. You know, it doesn't matter how hard they try, God's not happy with them. If they get C's, God wants to get B's, they get B's, God wants to get A's, they get A's, God wants to get A pluses, et cetera, et cetera. So what I want to do is I want to kind of dispel some of those myths and look at God as our Father and the implication of that in terms of what kind of Father is God. If I were to ask you that question, if you think of God as your dad, what kind of dad is he? And that's kind of what I want to unfold briefly here, because Jesus has made it very clear in the New Testament that when you come to God Almighty, I want you to come to Him and see Him as your Father, not as just Almighty God, all-powerful being of the universe, but see Him as your Father and have that kind of connection with Him. So let's look at those briefly. First one, God, according to the Bible, God is a caring Father. Psalm 103, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. There's a story in the New Testament where the disciples are out in the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and Jesus is with them. And they're out there fishing, and Jesus is really tired, so He falls asleep. And then a storm in the Sea of Galilee, if you don't know the way it's configured and the bowl shape it's in, storms can suddenly come over the mountains and down into the water. In just a matter of a few minutes, it can radically shift the weather. And so this storm comes in like it does from occasion, and this particular storm is really strong. The winds are strong. And the fishermen who live on the water are starting to get really scared that their boat's going to capsize and sink. And Jesus is still sleeping. And so they go over to Him and shake Him awake. And they ask a question of Him. Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? Now, isn't that a good question? The answer to that is huge in relation to your relationship with the living God. Don't you care about my problems? Don't you care about my hurts, or what I'm going through, how I'm feeling, the stresses and experiences I'm under, the injustice that happens in my life? Don't you care? The Bible makes it very clear that He does. Look what it says in 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God. Here's why. For He cares about what happens to you. Now, I want you to notice the text. It doesn't say give some of your worries and cares to God. It doesn't say give Him just the really big ones, the really important ones, or just give Him the spiritual ones. It says give all your cares to God. All of them. Physical, financial, social, spiritual, mental, all aspects of your life God cares about. And the text makes it very clear. You can do that with God Almighty because He cares about you and what's going on in your life. He cares about the details. The Bible talks about how God cares about details. And one of the descriptions it gives of God, it says that He knows every hair on your head. He's got your hair counted. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. Now, for some of you, that's not a big deal. Pretty easy to count. But I bet there's nobody in this room or nobody in your life that knows how many hairs are on your head, including you. But God knows. What is that saying? God cares about all the details of your life. All of them. He cares about them. And that's so important for us to understand and believe and accept. Look what it says in Matthew 6:31. In this text, Jesus is talking about worry. He's talking about the reality that we struggle with this worry. And He says his whole premise of why we don't need to worry is this truth that there's a God in heaven who cares about you. He says, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows. That's the reason why you don't have to worry. Your heavenly Father knows that you need those things. It's no surprise to Him. See, He knows all the details of our lives, and He cares about that. So I'm going to make a suggestion that if you worry, and all of us worry from time to time, and when you worry, use it as a whistle. Use it as a indicator. Use it as something to give you a warning sign that right now in my worry, I've lost sight that I have a Heavenly Father who cares. Right now in my worry, I'm kind of doubting whether my Heavenly Father cares enough to deal with this for me and with me. What I would suggest you do, and we all do, is when we worry and start to get anxious and get upset with things, is to remind ourselves, say this to yourself, my Heavenly Father knows what I need, and He cares, and I can trust Him. And say that to yourself over and over. My Heavenly Father knows, cares, and I can trust him with what's going on in my life. So the first one is he cares. Second one is this. God is dependable. He's a dependable father. You can count on him. I already alluded to that. He's very dependable. He's trustworthy. Look what it says in James 1:17. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. I love the way the Message paraphrase puts that last part of that verse. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. Earthly fathers sometimes are very fickle, sometimes not very dependable, but not our Heavenly Father. He never wakes up in the morning in a bad mood. He never gets cranky. Can you imagine if God woke up in the morning? Of course, wake up. I guess he doesn't go to sleep. But if God just somehow got in a cranky mood and decided to take it out on all of us. He just never does. He never changes. He stays the same. He's very, very dependable. Last week in the news, there was an interesting little news tidbit about a little girl named Chloe. Chloe apparently spent time most nights with her mom and dad reading them to her, maybe her to them, before she went to bed. Well, this one evening, the parents were just in a really bad mood, both of them. And so Chloe writes them a note. I want you to see. There's the note. I'll read it for you. This is what she wrote. Dear parents, it seems you are both a little overly strict tonight. Therefore, I do not wish to read with you tonight. But if you change your attitude, I'll be glad to. Good night. I love that. The good news is God never changes his attitude. He's never in a bad mood. He's never cranky. He's consistent and he's dependable and you can trust him. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, if we are faithless, if we're not dependable, sometimes we're not, he, referring to God, will remain faithful. Why? He can't disown his character. He can't be different than he is. And he is dependable all of the time. I'm so glad that that's true of God. I'm so glad that the days that I'm down, he's not down. I'm so glad that the days I struggle and lose, he's still victorious. He's very, very dependable. One author put it this way, in a changing world, we desperately need islands of stability. And the most important island and the most effective island of stability is to have a relationship with God Almighty where you can say to him, Dad, where you can say to him and approach him as your father. And all that that means. There's a lady who gave a testimony about this experience of coming to terms with God Almighty being her father and how life-transforming that was for her. She grew up with a dad who had a mental illness. And so it was a roller coaster of a growing up experience. One day when she was still a girl, a little girl, he kind of went off the deep end and killed his wife, her mother. Now, how do you cope with that? How do you process that? How do you not have it ruin your life? This is what she said. My earthly father took from me something that no one deserves to have taken when he murdered my mother. But one day I discovered that I had a heavenly father who gave to me what no one deserves to have given when he gave his son Jesus Christ on the cross for me. He gave me forgiveness. He gave me significance. He gave me peace. He gave me life. And it completely transformed me. There's people probably sitting in this room right now that desperately need a father. I didn't have a father. Was absent or whatever. And God can be your father in a very, very special way. That's exactly what happened to her. And God wants to be our father. Jesus said, I want you to think of him that way. I want you to relate to him that way. I want you to approach him that way. Next one is God is an available father. He is an available father. He's there for us. He's not distant. He's not far off. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, verse 27, Paul says this, God has done all this, and he's talking to people who don't even know God yet. He says, God has done all this so that we will look for him and reach out and find him. He isn't far from any of us. In other words, God stays close. He doesn't run away. He doesn't go hide in heaven. He's close to people. He wants people to relate to him. He wants people to find him. He wants people to acknowledge him. And he's right there waiting. It's kind of like following everybody around, saying, I wish you could just stop and turn around and see me and know me and experience my grace and love in your life. And he wants to do that desperately. He wants that. And some people have had an absent father, just can't hardly relate to that. But that's how God is. A study was done a few years ago, and a report reported in Time magazine that the parents spend an average of 22 fewer hours with their children each week. That's almost a whole day, right? 22 hours each week, less than they did in 1969. 22, that's one whole day a week, less connection, less interaction, less togetherness with parents and kids than back in, well, I was going to say the dark ages, but really for me, it wasn't, I can remember 69 real easy. And we kind of wonder what's happening to our society. You know, it's really hard for a person to come to God Almighty and relate to God Almighty in any kind of intimate way if they don't have parents that they have that kind of relationship with. It's really hard for them. But God wants to do that. In fact, God talks in the Bible about, for those who don't have parents, they're orphans, he'll be their dad. He'll be their parent. And that's his heart attitude. Let me give you three things real quickly under this one that just are real important and encouraging. God is never too busy for you. That's good news, isn't it? We may be too busy for our kids, vice versa, whatever it might be, but God is never too busy. Whenever you come to God, he doesn't say, hold on, I'm busy, you know, come back later. He's always available. God loves to meet your needs. He's very interested in your needs. He loves to meet them. In Matthew 7:11. So if you sinful people, this is Jesus talking about God's desire to meet needs. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, in other words, you people who aren't perfect, okay, you people who struggle with stuff and have sin in your life, if you know how to turn to your kids and give them wonderful gifts, that's what he's saying, how much more will your heavenly Father give gifts to those who ask him? In other words, God's a perfect dad. So if you think you can do that, and you can to your kids, what do you think God's like? What do you think he's capable of? What do you think he wants to do as a perfect dad? Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Third thing about this, God is sympathetic to your hurts. When you come to God with your pain, he doesn't say, get over it, grow up, you know, get a grip. He doesn't. He's very sympathetic to your hurts. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's his character. That's the kind of dad he is and wants to be for each of us. And I would anticipate in a crowd this size, there might be somebody who's crushed of spirit, who has a broken heart. And what do you do with that? Well, one of the things I want to suggest you do with that is turn to God with it. Pour out your heart to him. See, he's a dad that loves to have his kids pour their hearts out to him. He wants them to do that. He wants you to come to him and say, my father, dad, and express that to him. In fact, the word father in the Aramaic language, which is used some in the New Testament, is the word Abba. Anybody remember a group by the name of Abba? Music group, yeah? That was in the 80s, wasn't it? Or 70s, 80s, something like that. I remember one song by them, Take a Chance, right? I won't sing it for you. But in the Aramaic, which is Middle East, a lot of people in the Middle East still speak Aramaic. Abba is a term of endearment. It's daddy or papa. It's a combination of endearment and respect. And Jesus uses that term sometimes, especially in, Paul uses it in the book of Romans. But often when we address God, we tend to go down this other road of kind of formal language. Imagine this. Your children or your grandchildren greet you this way. Your children and grandchildren talk to you this way. O thou most holy procreator of the family, thou who so sovereignly bestows our allowance upon us, we beseech thee for a bountiful blessing of cash that we may goeth to the movies. Now, that's absurd, But you get the point. Sometimes we fall into this thinking or this trap that we gotta use certain words and say a certain way for God to. And Jesus is making it very clear, absolutely not. When you come to him as your daddy. And just open your heart to him and just talk to him as your daddy. Have that kind of relationship with him. Crawl up on his lap and say, hey, Dad, I got a problem. Or, Dad, I'm scared. Or, Dad, I'm freaked out. Or, Dad, I don't know what to do. And just talk to him that day. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching us, that he wants us to have that kind of approach and that kind of relationship with the God of the universe. God is an available father. He's there all the time for us. Last one, God is a capable father. There's no problem he can't handle. No problem that he runs out of resources to handle. Luke 1:37, which is not in your outline, for nothing is impossible with God, it says. He's very, very capable. Unlike earthly fathers, when my kids were little, they thought I could fix anything. I remember that the one time it was raining. Now, when we were in Oregon, so I don't mean one time it was raining. It rains all the time. But one day when it was raining, the kids went to go outside and play. And they were probably, Crystal was probably just a year and a half and maybe three or four. And they said something to me about stopping the rain. We want to go play. Do so, you know, I looked at them like, okay, you know. And there was a cartoon they loved, and one time we were gone and didn't get back, and they missed it, and they were upset. We love that cartoon, you know. Dad, make that cartoon come back. And I said, well, I can't do that. The funniest one was when we were in the car driving down the road, and all three were in the back seat, and my wife and I in the front. Karen and I were talking about our car, which was starting to really have issues, and it was old and starting to fall apart. And so we were discussing, what are we going to do? How are we going to pull together resources, you know, to get into their car and that kind of thing? And one of my kids piped up from the back seat, Dad, why don't you just go to the bank and get the money? Because all he knew was I would go into the bank and do something, poof, I'd have money, you know. And I said, well, it doesn't quite work that way, you know. So, of course, it didn't take them very long to discover that Dad couldn't fix everything and wasn't as smart as they thought he was and didn't have unlimited resources. But our Heavenly Father is as smart as we think he is. He is as capable as we think he is. He does have all the resources at his disposal. He can do the impossible. It's an amazing concept. And to come to him with that awareness could transform us in some ways. Look what it says in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. In other words, you know, way out there, according to the power that works within us. Look at the Message paraphrase of it. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. So here's my question for you. Have you been doubting? You may not think of it this way, but I want to ask you. Have you in some ways been doubting God's capability to handle and deal with your problems? Have you been questioning in some ways or doubting God's care and God's presence and all that part of God and who he is? He cares about us. He's dependable. He's available and he's capable. But there's a question I want to wrap up with that's very, very important, because I've been talking about God as our Father and we as his children. So here's the question. Is everybody a child of God? That's kind of an important question, given the topic this morning. Is everybody a child of God? The answer is yes and no. How do you like that for an answer? If you mean, did God create everybody? The answer is yes. If you mean, does God love everybody? The answer is yes. If you mean, does God have a plan and purpose for every person on the face of the planet? The answer is yes. In that sense, God is the Father of everyone. But it takes more than a birth to be a father. It takes a relationship to be a father and a child. You might know of people, some of you might be a person that had a biological father that has been absent in your life from day one. So he may be biologically the one that was part of bringing you into existence, but he's not your father, because it's more than just biological. It's relational. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about, how important it is for each person to make a decision to become a child of God, because they're not automatically a child of God because they're walking this planet and they're breathing. Look what the texts say about how to become a child of God. John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So we know that there's just one path. Jesus declared there's one way, one path. That's him. Galatians 3:26, so you are the children of God through what? Faith in Jesus Christ. You don't become a child of God by religious activity, by going to church, going to mass, or whatever. You don't become a child of God by keeping the Ten Commandments or being a good person. You become a child of God by faith, by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. In human terms, there's two ways to be in a family. One is to be born in it, the other is to be adopted in it. New Testament uses both those terms to talk about a person, that happening to an individual, to become a child of God. And there's two texts that talk about that. Look at these texts. 1 Peter 1:3. All honor to God, the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in it is his boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again, so that we're now members of God's own family. And then they use the word adoption. Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through who? Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and he gave him great pleasure. I had Jay read parts of those texts. So, either way, birth, a second birth, adoption, they're both the same thing, and it all hinges on a person's faith or trust in Jesus Christ. John 1:12, but to all who believed him, referring to Jesus Christ, and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So, to be a child of God, to have God Almighty, the creator of the universe, to be your daddy, to be your father, the only path for that to happen is through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's through Christ, when you put your faith and trust in him, that you're born again or adopted, same concept, into the family of God. So here's my question for some of you this morning. This might apply to a few of you. If you've never made that decision to not just be a human being, to be a child of the living God, why don't you make that decision? Why don't you decide you want God as your father? You want to be adopted into his family and all that that means. It's a process where you recognize your need for him. It's a process where you recognize Jesus Christ for who he is, and you confess your sin and you ask Jesus Christ to save you. And the scripture says now you become a child of God Almighty. Now, for most of us in this room, we've already done that, probably. So here's my question for most of us. Do you have that kind of daddy-daughter, daddy-son relationship with God Almighty? Is that how you view him? Have you opened your heart afresh and anew on a regular basis to recognize he's my dad? Have you crawled up on his lap recently and just kind of shared your heart with him, your fears, your worries, your joys, whatever they might be? Do you see him that way in your life? When you're driving down the street and you talk to him, do you use formal language or do you just share what's on your mind and heart? Is God Almighty in your life treated by you as your daddy? Because that's exactly what Jesus says he wants us to do. To say, my father, or my heavenly father, or my daddy, or my papa, and then launch into just what you want to express to him. And by the way, in worship, it's the same thing, isn't it? We come before the living God of the universe, but we're his kids. We're his family. Isn't that a little different? We're not just the neighbors. We're his family. We're his kids. And so when we worship him, we can come in a very personal way. And just talk to him as dad, say, Dad, man, I love you. You are amazing, Dad. Thanks for being my dad. Thanks for caring about me and taking time to be in my life. And I love you, and I praise you, and I adore you. You're the best dad in the universe. Jesus says, when you pray, I want you to see God that way. And so I challenge us to walk out of this room and decide this week, I'm going to start calling God Daddy. When I pray to him, I'm going to say, hey, Dad, because that's a term of both respect and endearment as your dad. Amen? Let's have a prayer together, and then we'll worship through song. Father, thank you for this truth that I got to confess I often forget. That when I come to you, I have this amazing privilege of not just seeing you as the almighty creator of the universe, the Holy One, but I get to walk into your throne room, crawl up on your lap and say, hey, Dad, I got some problems. Or, hey, Dad, thanks for being in my life. I get to have that level of personalness and intimacy with you. And I think so many of us forget that, and we're kind of nervous about that. But, Lord, that's exactly what your son said in the Gospels 150 times. Our Father, my Dad. And I just pray that as we worship right now and as we walk through this week, that'll be on the front burner, that we'll interact with you that way, we'll express our hearts to you that way, we'll just be humble before you and appreciative of you being the best dad in the universe. And we love you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.